From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Trump administration on Friday introduced a new regulation to place into detention whole families that cross the U.S. border without papers indefinitely. The regulation would overturn the so-called Flores Settlement, a court agreement dating back to 1997. Despite the overwhelming public outcry over family separation earlier this year, Trump's White House wants to hold parents and their children in detention facilities that are essentially prisons. It was the Flores Settlement that the Trump administration claimed led to the separation of parents from children because Trump had deemed parents must be imprisoned, but children could not be as per Flores. So rather than not imprison anyone for the civil, not criminal, violations of immigration law, Trump now wants to put kids in prison, albeit with their parents. The new regulation also aims to hold families in prisons that have not been formally licensed to hold children. A 60-day public comment period began Friday, while the original plaintiffs in the Flores case have 45 days to legally challenge the regulation. My guest is Peter Shea, President and Executive Director of the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law Foundation. He's one of the lead attorneys that represented detained children in the Flores case. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. I suppose we shouldn't be terribly surprised that Trump is trying to do this. Didn't President Obama also attempt to overturn Flores?
He did. President Obama, very unfortunately, was the first president since we entered into the Flores settlement in 1997. President Obama was the first president who, in response to a temporary surge of unaccompanied minors and accompanied minors, mostly with their mothers, mostly from Central America, that took place in the spring of 2015, President Obama decided to set up family detention centers. We challenged that, and as part of the challenge, the Obama administration essentially brought a request to the court to terminate the settlement for accompanied minors. The court rejected that. President Obama appealed that to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed that the settlement should not be modified. And then more recently, in July, early July, President Trump signed an executive order blaming the settlement for the separation of children, which was ridiculous. In 20 years of the implementation of the settlement, it had never resulted in the separation of a single mother or child. That was purely President Trump's decision a month or two earlier to separate parents from their children. President Trump blamed the settlement for the separation falsely and ordered the Attorney General to immediately go into court and try to unravel the settlement. Within 24 hours, Attorney Jeff Sessions went into court just over a month ago and sought to unravel the settlement for accompanied children. And the court rejected that. And so what these regulations that have come out on last Thursday, what these regulations seek to do is to accomplish what the Trump administration was unsuccessful in accomplishing through its court petition recently, and that is to unravel the protections of the Flores settlement for accompanied children.
So basically, this is Trump saying, if you don't like family separation, we'll just imprison parents with their kids. They can be together, but behind bars. How does he think he can get away with this with the public? Because the backlash from the public, including from many in his base, many on the right, many Republicans, was very strong, and he was forced to backpedal. Is this his way of basically trying another tactic to achieve a similar end?
It is. And I think that the Department of Homeland Security is really caught in a not unusual President Trump catch-22. Seems to come up fairly frequently these days. The reason for that is this, that the only way that they can unravel and terminate the Flores settlement is if they publish regulations that are consistent with the terms of the settlement. That rule is stated right in the 1997 settlement, that the settlement will remain in effect until such time as they publish regulations, but that are consistent with the settlement. This puts the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, all three agencies of which play a role in the detention of minors, it puts them in a box that they cannot get out of. Because in presenting their proposed regulations, they cannot mirror the settlement, because the president has the settlement in his crosshairs, and he has repeatedly and publicly criticized the settlement in his executive order that he signed a few weeks ago, in which he supposedly ordered the reunification of children and parents that he had separated. He specifically targets the Flores settlement. So on the one hand, the regulations to satisfy President Trump, who's probably never even read the settlement, to be honest, to satisfy President Trump, the regulations cannot just mirror the Flores settlement, because that's what he's against. He's against the settlement. He doesn't want to give children the kind of rights that are present in the settlement. And yet, on the other hand, the only regulations that will terminate the settlement are regulations that are consistent with the settlement. So I think they're really in a catch-22. The way they've written these proposed regulations, they satisfy President Trump's criticism. He does not want children to have the option for early release from custody, as long as they're not a flight risk or a danger to themselves or others. So that's one of the rights in Flores. He does not want children to have a right to early release. He does not want children to have the right to be in safe and humane facilities that are licensed under appropriate
right. state laws. That's I understand that in this proposed regulation is you know, essentially a desire to make glaring loopholes in licensing requirements. This sounds so much like a gift to the private prison industry, which has essentially been pushing to expand its facilities to take advantage of Trump's anti-immigrant policies. And so facilities that are not equipped to handle the presence of children, if this proposal becomes concrete, could essentially house these immigrant families?
Yes, you know, you've really hit the nail on the head there. There is an entire prison for profits industry that is laughing all the way to the bank at the tail end of these Trump policies, not just, by the way, in immigration, but even in a broader context. In this case, there are private entities and one, or a handful, primarily one, even nonprofit organization, but that literally rake in tens of millions of dollars a year, based upon the role that they are playing under contract with the federal government, mostly with the Department of Homeland Security, but also with the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which houses unaccompanied minors. They're literally raking in tens of millions of dollars, if not over. The cost, this detention cost, is easily around $250 million a year. So it's really absurd. That money could be taken and somehow dedicated to investments in job training in the communities where people are leaving, or to help bring violence under control in those sending communities. But instead, the underlying conditions that give rise to the flight of these refugees is really ignored, if not significantly contributed to by American policy, foreign policy. And then on the other hand, hundreds of millions of dollars are spent to detain refugees once they arrive in the United States. So it really is both an irrational and a disastrous policy direction we're moving in.
Now, currently, the way I understand that it's set up is when an immigrant or a family of immigrants is detained at the border, they're held in the custody of Customs and Border Protection for something like 72 hours, after which they have to be transferred to a Health and Human Services facility. But this proposal, this proposed regulation, also includes big loopholes that would essentially keep families in Customs and Border Protection in case of an emergency, and they define the emergency very, very broadly. Now, aren't the Customs and Border Protection facilities much worse than the Health and Human Services facilities?
Well, they are. Let me make one correction.
Okay.
Under the current law, if a family unit is apprehended, an accompanied minor is apprehended under current policy, or unaccompanied minors for that matter, that they're first 99% are first apprehended by Border Patrol. And they remain in Border Patrol custody anywhere from 1 to maybe 6 days.
Okay.
Their conditions are really atrocious. We just gathered in June and July, we gathered over 200 declarations and presented them to the court about the deplorable conditions at these CBP facilities, Customs Border Protection facilities. I mean, the complaints that we got from interviewing a large number of people at facilities all along the border, the complaints that we heard about or that were told to us, children sleeping on cold concrete floors. We're not talking necessarily one night. Those could be two nights, three nights, four nights, five nights. Kids not having access to blankets, temperatures being extremely cold. So children were shivering the whole time and many of them getting sick, being fed insufficient food and things like frozen small burritos three times a day that were really inedible. A lack of access to potable water. So many of the children were severely dehydrated. Overcrowding in cells with just unaccompanied children or accompanied children and their parents, with just one open toilet and people having to sleep all around the base of the toilet because of overcrowding. These were the conditions that were reported to us. These were the conditions that just a month ago we reported to the court. And these were the conditions that led to the court on just July 27th to finally order that she was going to appoint a special master to oversee this whole operation and particularly Border Patrol and ICE. It didn't cover the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which then deals with unaccompanied minors. But I think that is going to come down the road a bit. But for now, she has ordered the appointment of a special master, and she has selected somebody, a former immigration judge, a retired immigration judge, who we think would be a very fair special master, actually, and who's going to oversee this whole thing. And so it's interesting because what we see is, on the one hand, the court moving towards much greater involvement, trying to enforce the settlement, now appointing a special master who will also have people working for her, investigators and whatnot. And the court sort of moving in a direction of ensuring compliance with the settlement, and then the government moving in the opposite direction and trying to entirely get out.
So what does the proposed regulation say about the amount of time that families can spend at CBP facilities?
The proposed regulations, in my judgment, completely eviscerate the right in the Flores settlement that every kid, whether accompanied or unaccompanied, The Flores Settlement states very clearly that from the time of apprehension, the government has to make and record continuous and ongoing efforts aimed at the release of that child, unless the child is a substantial flight risk, and that's defined in detail in the settlement, or is a danger to herself or to others, and that's also defined in the settlement. So under the Flores Settlement, the government has an ongoing obligation aimed at attempting to place that minor with either an undetained parent living in the United States, undetained relatives living in the United States, an adult who's appointed by a parent, or in a non-secure licensed group home. So the settlement sets forth a hierarchy of options where the child could be placed. Now, it is important to understand that the settlement has two exceptions to release, one flight risk and two a danger. But there is another implicit exception, and that is if you do have a mother with a child detained, and the mother does not want her child released to the father or to relatives, the mother wants to keep the child with her, perhaps temporarily, and would then make a decision. But that decision rests with the mother. The mother can opt the child out of that benefit, and the majority do, while they're in custody and they're awaiting what's called a credible fear interview to determine if the government thinks they have a legitimate asylum claim, which normally will take place within 2 to 3 weeks, let's say. Many mothers want to keep their children with them, but the option is with the child or the mother. It's not with the government. What President Trump seeks to do is to take that option away from the mother so that the government would have the right to detain children with their parents until the termination of all proceedings, criminal or civil, against that mother. So that essentially would eviscerate, it would terminate the right of accompanied children to be released as promptly as possible. And they have exceptions also for unaccompanied children. So it, in effect, would these regulations, if promulgated, there are really two things that they would do in a broad sense. One is they would end the government's legal obligation under the terms of the settlement to treat children humanely. Secondly, it would terminate the government's obligation under the terms of the Flores Settlement to release kids who are amenable to release and who have a viable placement option, whether that's a relative, a friend, family friend, or even a licensed group home. But what the administration seeks to do is to terminate that right to release and to be in a position where, if they want to, they can hold minors and they can hold families in custody as long as they want until, quote, all proceedings are over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Peter, then finally, let me ask you what your plans are. I mentioned you're one of the lead attorneys that represented detained children in the original Flores case. The settlement happened all the way in 1997, so it was a long time ago. How are you planning on challenging, if at all, this proposed regulation? And what can the public do? There's a 60-day public comment period. I mean, in this administration, do we expect the Trump administration to even take public sentiment seriously?
Yeah. Well, in answer to your last question, mm-hmm. I really doubt they will take the public comment. That's something they have to do under federal law. They have to publish a regulation in proposed form before they can put it into final form. So in terms of what the public can do, I think the public played a critical role. Civil society, faith-based groups, et cetera, played a critical role in, of course, we were also fighting in the courts. Others were fighting in the courts. But I think civil society played a critical role, if not the most important role, in getting Trump to reverse himself around the separation of children from their parents so their parents could be criminally prosecuted. So I think the voice of civil society is very important. It's probably just as important, if not more important, than what we may do in the courts. So I would urge people to go online, try to figure out where these regulations are. They're not difficult to find online.
We're going to try to find them, by the way, and post them to our website. So
that would be great. And if you could post how one submits a public comment. And so I would certainly urge the public those who are concerned about immigrant children and the treatment and the human rights of immigrant children. Look, these are among the most vulnerable population that you could possibly define anywhere within the four corners of the United States. So these children, particularly children who are not with their parents, of which there's about 30,000 a year apprehended by Border Patrol, that it'd be hard to identify a more vulnerable, a more scared, a more terrorized a population that is going to need a lot of mental health services as a result of the way they were treated by this administration. So yes, I would urge members of the public to submit public comment to the Department of Homeland Security, which is easy to do, and to express their opposition to closing down of the rights that children have under the nationwide Florida settlement. Number two, what do we plan to do? We plan to go into court fairly shortly and to tell the judge that we do not believe that these regulations are consistent with the Florida settlement, and we'll explain why they're not consistent with the Florida settlement. And we will ask the judge to block the issuance of final regulations unless and until they are consistent with the Florida settlement, and to, in essence, move forward with her ongoing oversight and implementation of the settlement, including her appointment of a special master, Judge G, in the Flores case, will have to issue. We plan to have discussions with the government. We're obligated to do that. Before we move in court, we're obligated to have discussions with the government. So we intend to initiate discussions with the government very promptly, within a week or two. And our position will be, when our discussions with the government will be, your regulations are not consistent with the settlement. What they are consistent with is the instructions of President Trump. But the instructions of President Trump, you cannot follow those instructions and at the same time put out regulations that are consistent with the settlement, because what's in his crosshairs and what he doesn't like and what he wants to change is the settlement. So we understand you're in a catch-22 situation, but we're obligated to talk to you to see if you're willing to come around and make your regulations consistent with the settlement. The chance of 99.9%, they'll say no can do, because the boss, that's not what he wants. He wants to change the settlement. Well, under the terms of settlement, you cannot do that. We have the obligation to have that discussion with the government, but then we will move in court. And what we'll ask the court to do, basically two things. Number one, not terminate, or maybe three things. Number one, obviously, not terminate the settlement, because their regulations are inconsistent with the settlement. Number two, block their regulations from being issued or becoming final. And number three, which she's already on track of doing, to move forward with the final appointment of the special master, who will then have nationwide oversight and monitoring capacity with regards to the treatment of all minors nationwide in government custody, and reporting back to the court, mediating disputes between us and the government. So that's how we would like to see this thing move forward.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Peter, for joining us today. I did find the place where people can post comments directly, and we are linking it to our website, risingupwithsonali.com. We'll also post it on our social media accounts. Thank you so much, Peter, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much.
My guest has been Peter Shea, President and Executive Director of the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law Foundation, one of the lead attorneys who represented detained children in the Flores case. We've been discussing the Trump administration's proposal to indefinitely detain immigrant families and try to overturn Flores. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Again, our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RUWithSonali.